Welcome to the EFL Pod Blog with Chris and Sue. Join us at www.eflpodblog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.
Okay, so I'm here today with Guillaume, who's going to tell us a little bit about his job. Hi, Guillaume.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Lovely day, isn't it?
Lovely fall day. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell me something about yourself?
About myself, yeah. So I'm French. I'm born in the southeast part of France in Avignon.
Avignon, okay.
But after that, in 2000, I went to live in Canada during 11 years for studies, for a job, for living just.
Okay.
It was a plan for 8 months at the beginning, and after that 11 years. So.
Oh, right.
And finally I became Canadian as a citizen, because now it's kind of a part of me, the way of thinking, the way to live, etc., etc. And now I'm back in France for... four years now, and I try every day to keep what Canada offered me, and it's pretty hard, but it's okay.
Okay, can you tell me what you do for a living?
Okay, for a living, I'm very passionate by my job, and my job, I'm a researcher, scientific researcher,
okay,
and I work on climate change adaptation.
Excellent.
It means I try to understand what does it mean to adapt to climate change, because it's new challenges, etc. But actually, what does it mean to adapt? It's adapt the behavior, it's adapt the city, it's what does it mean? So I'm a researcher on these specific issues. And as you know, this year in 2015, we have a big conference at the end of the year. And probably these issues of adaptation will be a big part of the international negotiations. So that's my job for now 10 years.
And that was what you did your studies for in Canada?
Part of. Studies environmental sciences, but directly there were not courses on adaptation to climate change. So it began by training, and after that I fell in love with this topic, because it's a huge topic. It's a topic in which there are several micro topics. For example, when you speak about climate change, you can speak about biodiversity, you can speak about social issues, you can speak about economic issues, planning, territorial resources, water, etc., etc. So it's not annoying. So, and also it's a big challenge. And what I like in my job is that we all are part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So even scientists are part of the problem. So it means that I try to have a kind of ethical in my job, trying to have my research and my citizen life in adequation, in common sense.
Mm-hmm. So you research this. Are you sponsored to research this by governments or companies, or is it purely academic?
Mm. In this moment, I work on a two-year project. I created this, and after that, I looked for money for two big organizations, French organizations, l'ADEME, l'Agence de l'Environnement, la Maîtrise de l'Énergie, and l'Agence Française de Développement.
Okay.
But I'm part of a third organization, which was... Caisse des dépôts et des consignations,
okay,
which has a filiale, research
branch,
climate,
a
branch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
because the Caisse des dépôts has nothing to do with the environment, is it?
No, but they give money for collectivity, for example, and they are aware that money can be bad spent. And so they want to know about the future for the infrastructures, for example, Are there some good placements, for example? Mm-hmm. Are there, ethical placements, etc.? They are aware of environmental...
This is investing money, in ethical projects.
Kind of.
Yeah, okay. And what exactly does your job entail? I mean, you said researcher, but what does it entail?
Entail, what do you mean entail?
What do you actually do, you know?
So... Exactly, my job is to interview some stakeholders and to know what they think about the terms of and the notion of adaptation. For example, I have some 1 hour interview with director of collectivity or.
When you say collectivity, do you mean like Toulouse? Council?
I don't know in English, intercommunalité.
Okay, right.
It's part of...
So it's like a district council.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Kind so of it's political district. Figures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So political, but I do some interviews with chiefs, for example, of services, mm-hmm. of direction, etc. Mm-hmm. So stakeholders, you know. And I would like to know how they... integrate the notion of adaptation in their activities.
Okay.
For example, when they plan
yes.
a new district, for example, or a new building, are they aware that in 30 years the climatic conditions will be different? So they have to think about, I don't know, the orientation of the building, to avoid heat waves, to avoid... big, I don't know, water supply, etc., different stuff, or to implement, for example, green roofs.
Okay, so you're involved with smart buildings as well.
Topics. I take the example of a building, but it can be, for example,
could it be roads,
parks, roads, but also some social issues, for example. In French, we say précarité énergétique. Energy precarity,
for example. Yeah, you could say that, yeah.
For example, people
basically, resources running out, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They cannot pay for their building, so they waste money by a bad energy system of their building or apartment, for example. Mm-hmm. So it exists some program to help them. And it's part of the solution also.
Okay, but would you be affiliated, for example, to suppliers and installers of, for example, solar panels or energy-saving things?
Or this is part, because the question of adaptation is a big question. In the literature, adaptation, we can see adaptation like something like protection, you know. But my research is to demonstrate that adaptation is more like that. It's also change of behavior.
Okay.
So if we change, for example, the sources of energy supply, for example, to implement some solar panels, it's also to adapt to new conditions. Mm-hmm. It's not only to adapt to climate change, but it's also to adapt to a new kind of way of life, a new sustainable development, etc.
But when if you're talking to these people about adapting and really sort of second guessing what's going to happen in the future, will you say to them, well, you can go to Smith's or Jones's solar panels, for example, or is that not ethical in your job?
No, it's not ethical.
Okay.
I'm trying to...
So you have to stay independent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to stay completely independent. I'm trying to find what solutions they propose. For example, they can propose some very creative solutions, mm-hmm. or, for example, old ways to do.
Okay.
Without technology, for example, mm-hmm. Simple things, etc. And all districts have its own way to do, to create something new, etc. So some use some very technologic stuff and the others can implement some very old-fashioned style way to do.
But staying green.
Yes, staying green.
At the same time.
The objective is to reduce the consumption of energy and to be more resilient to impacts, to climatic impacts, etc.
Okay. And how or why, at what point did you decide to do this job?
Well, I think the roots of this job was from my father and his love of nature, fauna, birds, etc., etc. And during my when I was young, we took a lot of work in the forest, etc. Mm-hmm. So I improved.
You became aware.
And sensitivity. Awareness to protect the nature, etc. And after that, with my academic course, it was very difficult to find some specific courses to protect environment, etc. Okay. So that's why I emigrated to Canada, because there it has been a master's of environmental sciences, which was very new at this time, because we had some, for example, economic courses, sociological courses, or I don't know, but with the topic of environmental sciences, not only to protect the tree or to know the bird, the specific bird, etc., etc. Okay. More with the legislative stuff, etc.
Okay, so they were well ahead of France at the time.
Sorry?
They were ahead of France at the time for this type of thing. Were you in the French-speaking Canada, in Quebec? Or?
Yeah, it was in Montreal. Yeah,
in Montreal,
That's why my accent.
That's where your accent comes from. And what qualities or skills would you say that you need to do this job?
Yeah, the first one, I think, it has to be passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one can be also a little bit creative and independent.
Okay, so not just doing a job for a job, you have to have a passion for
I think this thing, yeah? It's essential.
I believe.
Essential, because it's demanding in energy, it's demanding in brain energy to think about that, etc. Research is very demanding in, I don't know, in cerebral exercises, etc. So if you're not passionate, it can be
pretty boring, I guess.
Yeah,
it's got to be sounds a bit like a vocation rather than a job.
Kind of. But I think we don't know if we have the vocation before to try it.
Okay.
Because first I was really against researcher,
mm-hmm.
and finally with time, etc. I worked 5 years, for example, and after that I decided to back to the studies to become a researcher.
Okay, so right. You went backwards, in fact.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good. So, would you recommend this type of job to other people?
No, because there are no jobs.
Okay, right. So, don't do this job. Can I just ask you some more questions? Would you go back to Canada?
Yeah, why not?
Being as you're a Canadian now.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I feel at home in Canada, actually.
How about here in Toulouse? Do you feel at home in Toulouse?
Yeah, also.
Toulouse is cool, isn't it?
Yeah, for the moment, I'm a little bit angry with the winter in Canada, so I will be back in summertime.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. And so, is there a difference between... Because I think I've heard there's a difference... Is there a difference between climate change and global warming, or is it the same thing?
No, it's the same thing, but it's important to make a difference between the two terms, mm-hmm. because global warming, it's about warming, mm-hmm. or climate change is not only about warm. It's also about change in different climatic variables, for mm-hmm. example, the precipitation, but mm-hmm. also the wind, and the intensity, the length, mm-hmm. the, I don't know, so... It's more something like climatic system is changing. Okay.
So one is just the climate of the temperatures are rising, and the other one are all the weather patterns are changing. Yeah,
exactly. But we focus only on the warming, mm-hmm. on the temperatures, because it's more tangible.
Yeah. Okay. Right. It's, you can actually measure it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Although, having said that, I was just in the Pays Basque and people were saying to me there was quite a lot of wind. And I remember some years ago there was no wind, and people were saying it's really a big feature in the Pays Basque now, is that you have in the southwest of France.
Yeah. It's the same here in Toulouse, for example. A lot of people are noticing that there are a lot of different wind.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting to compare the testimonies of people
yeah.
and the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Because the statistics, if you don't reach a certain amount,
mm.
it doesn't exist. The problem
yeah.
doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But when you speak with old people, for example,
yeah.
or farmers,
mm-hmm.
Who are very close to the climatic variables,
yeah.
etc., they all say the same thing. Something is changing.
Yeah. Mm. Definitely. Well, in Toulouse, in fact, they have about 10 different winds and a name for each one, don't they?
Yeah.
So what do you think of those that say that climate change is a myth, it doesn't exist?
Yeah, when I...
It's quite a big lobby in America that try to dumb down Al Gore and all of his stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you understand that life... is like a game with a lot of people. And each of these people are its own interest, and they have only one thing in head, is to protect this interest. You can understand that there
okay.
are some different speeches.
You're talking about anybody in particular?
Anybody in particular.
Yeah. Okay. Not the oil.
Even scientists.
Okay.
Even
yeah.
scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And the difficulty the influence of such a speeches on people,
mm-hmm.
on people on the street,
yeah,
for example. And when I give courses, for example, for students, I don't present climate change with graphs.
Okay.
I present the situation like today.
Mm-hmm.
Today we are 7 billion of people on Earth,
mm-hmm.
and 100 years ago we were only one.
Mm-hmm.
So how come so many people with so many energy cannot have an effect on the climatic system?
Mm.
It's just a question of
mm-hmm.
you know
logic.
Equilibrium
mm.
and logical.
Yeah.
And after that, when you understand that this is a global situation, it's not only a climate change, it's also an environmental global change, a big crisis. In French, we can say démesure.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very big. So when you understand that...
Outmeasured, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
okay.
outmeasured.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you understand that, you can open the door to understand climate change.
Okay.
But if you deny that,
mm.
of course you can say that there are cycles, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
But the rapidity in which we can observe the impacts, etc., is very, very... unusual,
mm-hmm.
very unusual. So it's the mark of the print of the man on Earth.
On Earth, yeah. Okay, just one more question.
Mm-hmm.
I came across a word when I was looking up things about the environment, which is called greenwashing. Do you know this word,
Guillaume?
Yeah, can you explain what it could mean?
greenwashing. It's a brand. Of course, it's a brand because... of course, a lot of firms see that there is a movement, an environmental movement, citizen movement, because people see growing people see the problem, etc., and they want to change the way of life, etc. So the firms want to sell, also want to be part of this movement. So greenwashing is kind of a lie, an illusion.
Okay.
An illusion.
It's like a trend, is it, that everybody wants to follow?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
It's a trend. It's to sell illusion to go to sustainable development. Actually, it's the same development. It's
okay.
not sustainable.
Anymore. Right, okay. Well, fair enough. So it's pretty negative. Maybe I should look at the other side of that. Well, Guillaume, thank you very much for your time and thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thank you for the invitation, Chris. It was a big pleasure.
Excellent. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again on www.eflpoplog.com and subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes.